It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Preparation Day. It is a blessing to be with you today in the presence of the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the Bible says that Psalm 122 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to come together on your day of preparation to be ready for your holy Sabbath. We thank you for giving us your word. And as we open it this morning, we pray for your spirit to teach us the things that we need to know, Lord, as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. For these things are asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
Amen. Do one thing here real quick. We're talking today about the characteristics of Medo-Persia, the characteristics of Medo-Persia. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Bless us as we study the Word of God. We thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more perfect as we follow your image. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, the characteristics of Medo-Persia. We're in Daniel chapter 7, And in Daniel chapter 7, just for context, I'll start again. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. These beasts, we're told, were nations. This is just review. And the great sea is the great populations and civilizations of the world. This would not be, these nations would not come from discovered lands, sparsely populated lands. So we understood yesterday, the first was like a lion and it had eagle's wings, and that represented Babylon. That was the first kingdom. And we learned yesterday that the characteristic of Babylon was the combination of church and state. Okay, the combination of church and state. It says, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked up, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, this is today's lesson, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, because the teeth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, I just want to bring your mind back to the fact that Belshazzar was the one who saw the handwriting on the wall. So it was in his reign that Daniel got this vision. So it would have been fresh in his mind, the reminder that it's going to be Babylon, then Medo-Persia, then Greece, then Rome, because he interpreted the image back in Daniel 2. And so imagine that, wow, he has to be amazed when he gets called into the handwriting on the wall and says, it's happening now. Your kingdom is taken from you, just like the Bible says, just like the vision said. You know, God's visions are true. That's why he authenticates himself with prophecy. Remember, we read Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, and it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. So this bear with three ribs in its mouth represented Medo-Persia, and the Bible tells us, not the Bible, the Bible tells us that it had three ribs in its mouth, but history tells us that when Medo-Persia came to power, it had to conquer Libya, Egypt, and Babylon, okay? And so Belshazzar was the king of Babylon, and he got the handwriting on the wall. The reason why it's raised up on one side, it was Medo-Persia, and the Medes were stronger than the Persians. That's why the bear is raised up on one side. The three ribs in his mouth represent Libya, Egypt, and the great country of Babylon, which pretty much ruled the world, okay? So Medo-Persia, that's what happened. Now, what are the characteristics of Medo-Persia? Brothers and sisters, we already read this, but I'm going to read it again. Daniel 6, verses 8 and 12. What verses? Daniel 6, verses 8 and 12. Now, O king, establish the decree. This is Daniel in the lion's den. And sign the writing that it be not changed. That it be not changed. Okay? According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then, verse 12, they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So, friends, a characteristic of Medo-Persia is simply that, sorry, a characteristic of Medo, let me move that out of the way. A characteristic of Medo-Persia is simply that that which altereth not, it had elements which could not be altered. When the king made a decree, it could not be altered. Now, what significance does that have, brothers and sisters? Some of us as husbands, some of us as wives, some of us as Democrats, some of us as Republicans, some of us as church members, some of us as just family members in society, we are like the Medes and the Persians. We are set in our ways, and we will not change. That is not a good characteristic, my brothers and sisters. The Medo-Persians were set in their ways. You ever heard of this thing called pride, which goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall? A proud person is set in his or her ways, and they will not change. It is pride. It is arrogant. And you can be a present truth preacher and be proud and arrogant and set in your ways. And God cannot use you the way he wants to use you because he can't tell you some things that you need to understand because you've been preaching something for a long time that's not even in the Bible and you're preaching present truth. And my brothers and sisters, that's why God can use some people in a powerful way and others he cannot. You see, I'd rather be humble. I'd rather be humble and stay with Jesus and go with what he teaches and where he leads. That's where I want to follow. Sometimes you can be more strict than God himself and you're too burdened with trying to make sure that you're not like the conference. And so we're just so, you know, stuck in our ways that God can't even talk to you. And if you read the Bible, you would clearly see that what you're teaching is not in the Word, my friend. And sometimes we are so connected to organizations that we just can't see that Jesus did not follow the path of the organization. He did not submit to their authority. He wasn't a troublemaker. He just went in everywhere. If you let him in the synagogue, he's going to teach the truth in love. If you let him in the on the seashore, he's going to teach the truth in love. If you put him on a boat, he's going to teach the truth in love. If you put him on a mountaintop, he's going to teach the truth in love. And it got to the point where he could not teach the truth in love in the conference of his day. That's what happened. That's why the Bible said he no longer walked in jury because they sought to kill him. But you see, you can read that and be stuck in your ways. And no matter what kind of evidence you have, everybody's got to be in this particular mindset, in this particular setting, in this particular mode of thinking, brothers and sisters, in this particular organization. And I don't care whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, part of Islam, Hindu, Buddha, we have the same tendency to be like the Medo-Persians. And God wants to free us from that pride and arrogance and blindness, brothers and sisters, because your standing doesn't line up with the truth. If you have to, here's my poem, if you have to reject, or poetry anyway, reject or neglect anything that God has said in order to form your position is never correct. I will repeat that. If you have to reject or neglect anything that God has said in order to form your position cannot be correct. And so sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes how we treat people is based on our own preconceived ideas, and we're like the stubborn, hard Medes and the Persians who cannot change. They alter not, and that's how we are. Friends, God is trying to tell us, if you want to be saved, you better get rid of that pride. You got to get rid of it. Sometimes things don't go, life doesn't go the way you plan. And because things don't go the way you plan, you rebel against God. Friends, if God is trying to probably protect you from something. We need to be flexible. We need to be pliable, and not, you know, pliable in the sense that, I mean, we need to be firm, but I'm just saying we need to be flexible to let God lead us in a different direction if that's how he's leading. It will be in accordance with his word, but you see, a lot of times we don't understand the word because we're just stuck in our ways, and we won't say, Lord, what are you really saying? And so sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are, whether we're liberal or whether we're conservative, we're stuck in our ways. You know, there's a statement, and I'm going to show you what stuck in your ways looks like, okay? I'm going to show you from a church perspective what stuck in your ways looks like. Listen carefully to this statement, friends. Got to find it here. Okay, this was written over 100 years ago. This is going to describe stuck in your ways. The enemy of souls has sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of reorganization. Okay? Were this reformation to take place, what would result? And I'm here to tell you, it did already take place. What would result? Listen carefully. The principles of truth that God in his wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. See, we used to be a people that would just stand on the word of God and teach the truth in love. Politics was out of the question. You would not preach Republican doctrine on the pulpit. You wouldn't be bringing in Congress people to speak to the church members, and you wouldn't be subtly hinting if you're that you should vote Republican. And you wouldn't be subtly hinting that you would be voting for Democrats. You wouldn't do that in original historic Adventism, brothers and sisters. Historic Adventism was based on the truth, not based on how you could move the crowd, and it didn't involve these bodily exercises and loud music that with drums that just kind of clouds the mind. And makes you feel good, but you haven't gotten any truth. That's not original Adventism. Notice what it says. It says, giving up the doctrines which stand as pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? Listen carefully. The principles of truth that God in his wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. We're talking about Medes and the Persians. Stubbornness. That you would take these wonderful truths and just get rid of them. Our religion would be changed. Things would be different. The way we would do church would be more modern and different, you see. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. How was it sustained? Teaching, medical missionary work, and the publication of truth. That's what it was. It wasn't trying to draw people with all this club music and dancing and all of this type of thing. Our religion, it said, would be changed. I'm talking about the Medes and the Persians, so stubborn that you won't allow God's word to teach you. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. A new organization would be established. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you, if you're a part of that organization, I want you to go to USPTO.gov, United States Patent and Trademark Office, and look up the name of your church, okay? It starts with the word general, okay? Look up the name of your church, and then look at where it says first use and first use in commerce, and you will find that they trademarked the name in 1980. It was finalized in 1981, and they declared under penalty of perjury that they had a new organization because they said their starting date was 1980. 1863. Now, those of us who know the truth know it was 1863, but this was a new organization, you see. And so when you look it up under penalty of perjury, they have declared to the federal government that our organization started in 1963, not 1863, 1963. I just want you to know that God's word is true and the spirit of prophecy can be trusted. A new organization, it says, would be established. Books of a new order would be written. Friends, you can't go into some of these bookstores that claim to be Sabbath-keeping bookstores and find a whole lot that teaches about the third angel's message, about Revelation 13 and the role of the Roman Catholic Church and apostate Protestants. You'll actually have books by some of the apostate Protestant top bishops and leaders, and I'm not going to mention any names on the air, but the bottom line is they're popular people and their books are front center, and you have to go and search for a spirit of prophecy book. Books of a new order would be written. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded as also the God who created it. And here is the Medo-Persian principle. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. Brothers and sisters, some people in the crisis did not want to receive a vaccination, couldn't get a letter from the church. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way. They approached it at the General Conference session, and the president of the General Conference stood up and begged the delegates, with no godly reason, not to address that issue that had caused thousands of people of that church to lose their jobs, brothers and sisters, as if the church has no health message. Okay? It says, the leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice. Oh, they're teaching good things. But God being removed, they would place their dependence on human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. That hasn't happened yet. The storm and tempest is the Sunday Law movement. Brothers and sisters, if we can't even stand up for the right in a health crisis, how are we going to stand up for the right when everything would be taken from us if we don't keep Sunday and worship on Sunday? We're not prepared. My brothers and sisters, we can't be like the Medes and the Persians. Let's wake up. Let's open up our eyes, open up our minds, because we're stuck in a rut. We are thinking it's got to be a certain way in everything that we do, and it's not that way. And you're going to learn, some of you, too late, that you waited too late. Okay, so God wants us to understand the principles of the Medes and the Persians, the policies of the Medes and the Persians. We don't need the policies of Babylon. We need to separate the church from the state. And we don't need the policies of Medes and Persians and be stubborn so that God could not change us. Now, friends, I'll end by saying the Roman is likened to the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the dragon, or indescribable beast of Daniel 7. So the Pope believes in the combination of church and state. The Pope will not change, even though he's blessing people. He's still the same entity that would persecute you when given the opportunity if you go against the dogmas of the church. God is telling us through this method of Medo-Persian lesson that the Catholic Church is still a persecuting power. It just has lost the power to do so, but it's using Protestants as its ploy. And that's why you see this moral majority. That's why you see them talking about legislating morality. That's why you, see these, talking about let's get back to God, but they're not getting back to God in honesty and humility and just, doing the right. They're yelling and screaming and cursing at each other as Democrats and Republicans, but they're all saying, get back to God. Friends, we're in trouble, but God is always ahead of the devil. So God is just teaching us these things because these troublous times are coming, and he wants you to be faithful. Don't be like the Medes and the Persians. Open your mind. Be open-minded to the truth. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us always to be open-minded to truth. We pray that you bless us, dear Father, this day, that as we move forward to serve you with all of our heart on this preparation day before the Sabbath, that you'll help us. Sunsets early, help us to get our work done so that we're not violating the holy Sabbath hours. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends. It's time for us to transition to the wellness segment of our broadcast. And after that, we will come back and hear from Sister Lenny on the subject gardening and health. Let's enjoy the torso song at this time.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Good morning, everyone, again, and we're talking now with Sister Lenny, and the subject, or hearing from Sister Lenny, I should say, gardening and health.
Good morning. Happy, happy Friday. Gardening and health. Let men and women work in field and orchard and garden. This will bring health and strength to nerves and muscles. Living indoors and cherishing invalidism is a very poor business if those who are sick will give nerves and muscles and sinews proper exercise in the open air. Their health will be renewed. The most astonishing ignorance prevails in regard to putting brain, bone, and muscle into active service. Every part of the human organism should be equally taxed. This is necessary for the harmonious development and action of every part. Many do not see the importance of having land to cultivate and of raising fruit and vegetables that their tables may be supplied with these things. I am instructed to say to every family and every church, God will bless you when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing lest, by unwise treatment of the body, you will mar the Lord's plan for you. Many act as if health and disease were these things entirely independent of their conduct and entirely outside their control. They do not reason from cause to effect and submit to feebleness and disease as a necessity. Violent attacks of sickness they believe to be special dispensations of providence or the result of some unruly mastering power, and they resort to drugs as a cure for the evil. But the drugs taken to cure the disease weakens the system. If those who are sick would exercise their muscles daily, women as well as men, in outdoor work, using brain, bone, and muscle proportionately, weakness and languor would disappear. Health would take the place of disease, and strength the place of feebleness. Let those who are sick do all in their power by correct practice in eating, drinking, and dressing, and by taking judicial exercise to secure recovery of health. Let the patients who come to our sanitariums be taught to cooperate with God in seeking health. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God made nerve and muscle in order that they might be used. It is the inaction of the human machinery that brings suffering and disease. This morning's health segment is coming from Medical Ministry, pages 296 to 297. Thank you so much, and may all of us do all that we can to take care of our bodies. Many blessings to you.
Amen.
Today.
Praise God. It's sharing and caring time. We start with roll call on Facebook, and that is going to start with Sister Vicky saying good morning to us all from Georgia. Sister Angela, God bless you. From South Carolina, we've got Sister Gloria saying good morning to us from Virginia. We've got Brother Peyton saying good morning to us from North Carolina. And we've got Saint God from the country of Greece. Praise God for him. On the call, we have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Michigan. We have Oklahoma. We have Oklahoma again, and we have New York. Phone lines are open on this preparation day. I encourage you to get your work done early so that you can welcome in the Sabbath day. And if anyone has any comment or questions, please feel free to press star 6 at this time. We would love to hear from you. Today is the 13th. See, the world has these weird concepts, Friday the 13th. I say this is the day which the Lord hath made. They can call it Friday the 13th if they want to, but it is the 13th of the month. Friends, God can be with you and can dispel all demons on this day. Amen. We just have to be surrendered to him and encouraged by him and protected by him. God is much stronger than the devil. He was kicked out of heaven, that rascal, and he was allowed to come to the earth, and mankind allowed him to gain the ascendancy and temporary rulership in place of mankind. Not ever taking the place of God, but he became the prince of the power of the air when Adam and Eve let him usurp their authority. All right, friends, God is good. There's no one in the queue. If my lovely wife is available, it doesn't look like she is. You all know we're in a wellness retreat at this time. So, and we also have Maryland. No, okay, I do have Maryland that one time. Okay, I thought it was twice for Maryland. All right, God is good. God bless each one of you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for waking us up this morning because there were options. And we thank you that you have a plan for us, at least for the moment. We pray that every moment, because it is freighted with eternal consequences and eternal realities, we pray that you will help us, that each day and each moment of the day, we'll be in a state of surrender. Help us not to be like the Medes and the Persians. Help us to get outside and exercise, particularly doing gardening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you. Happy Preparation Day. It's time for our closing song, I'll Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will I will.